Good morning. Merry Christmas. You missed it. Those might be some of the most dreaded words we've heard. You missed it. It already happened. I think we all know that feeling. Sometimes it's something that happened a long time ago. My dad loves telling me about the Giants from the 60s. Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal. Watching them play. But you know what? I missed it. I didn't get to see them. I hear the stories. And what we have now isn't the same. Fairhaven. From the 70s. Gene Gibson. Those stories. You know what? I missed it. I wasn't there. Something special happened once upon a time, but those people are gone. Do you ever feel that way reading the stories of Jesus? Man, if only I'd been born 2,000 years ago. Wouldn't that have been something to live back then? To experience Emmanuel, God with us. What would that have been? I'd like to enter into that just a little bit as we begin to think about what it would have been like to experience God with us. We'll start way back at the beginning of the story. If you haven't gone there already, please turn to Matthew chapter 1. We'll read verses 18 through 23. This is where, in Matthew, it all begins. Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Wow. I think sometimes we hear things so often that we lose the impact of them. Emmanuel, which means God with us. Imanu, meaning with us, and El, God. Emmanuel, God with us. Think about that. We use with in many contexts. I'm with you. I'm on your side. But this isn't that. This is God with us. In the same way, it's Corey Anderson with us. He's in the same room as those, at least, who are in the building. God with us in that same sense. The Creator. I mean, in some sense, He's always been with us. He says in the prophets, Do I not fill heaven and earth? But yet, there's going to be something different. With us. In Israel's previous history, God had appeared. And it was fearful. Because He's appearing to sinners. And He's a holy God. Moses said at the Mount Sinai, he said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling when God's presence was on the mountain. It was a wonderful thing But it was a fearful thing for God to be there. I mean, go read the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to find out what it meant to a lot of the people that God was with them. A lot of them died because He's holy and they weren't. And they didn't respect. They didn't have an understanding of who was with them in their midst. But now God with us is going to be different. Very different in so many ways. Well, in the first place, before, God was there, but even when you see Him, it was an appearance. The Lord was revealing Himself in a certain way so that you could see Him with your eyes. But He wasn't there in the sense of a human being. But all of a sudden, I mean, the Lord stresses it here, the virgin shall conceive, she'll be with child and bear a son. God with us is going to be God born as a human. I mean, I could just drop the mic right there and walk off stage. God born as a human? God? A human? A baby? With us. I mean, that's with us. It doesn't get any more with us than that. God to become, in a sense, one of us. And that's the promise. And of course, as the angel points out, it's because He will save His people from their sins. That's why He's with us. And so then, for 33 years, the humanity gets to understand what this means. Emmanuel, God, with us. What would it have been like? Place yourself back there if you can. To have Jesus with you. You serve the Lord now. What would it have been like to serve the Lord with Him there? Maybe you would have been one of the 70 sent out to preach, to heal. And what would God with us have meant to your service there? To have the Lord Jesus commissioning you, to remember Him telling you, to remember His voice saying, go out, preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick. Wow, that would have been something. What confidence would you have gone out with? What authority? Or to see the Lord Jesus take a child and set him in the midst and say, whoever receives this child receives me. You have to be like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. The lords of the Gentiles lord it over them, but not so among you. And to hear Jesus saying this and to see His example as He then gets down and washes your feet. God with us washing your feet. Well, that'd teach me some humility. I don't think I'd ever forget that. I mean, you see what it did to Peter, that he'd say, Lord, no, you're not doing that. I'm sorry. Till Jesus convinced him. Boy, I would have been ashamed of myself. There wouldn't have been much pride left in me. It would have been a lot easier to be one with the rest of the followers of Jesus around me if Jesus did that to each one of us. Wow, God with us. What would that have meant? How about the intimacy you could have experienced with Him? You know, we think of John leaning on the Lord's breast at supper, the Last Supper. But think of the walks. I mean, they walked a long way. If you read the Gospels, they're going up and they're going down. You know those conversations where you're walking along and then all of a sudden you see Jesus off there walking by Himself. Oh, now's my chance that you could go walk to Jesus and spend some time talking with Him, hearing what's dear to His heart, sharing with Him what you're thinking. God with us. Or the hope. He raises the widow's son Remember the widow of Nain, her son, he raises him back to life, raises Lazarus. And as you're walking along, to see Jesus there and to know that man has the power of life and death. And he's promised that if I believe him, if I follow him, I will never die. What would that have meant to you? And so for 33 years, we get to experience God with us. But we as a human race did not want God with us. We wanted him gone. And so we executed him. And of course, that's the most wonderful part of the entire story, because that right there is what God used for my salvation, for yours. Because at that execution, God laid all of your sins, past, present, and future, on his own son, and held his own son, as it were, personally responsible for your sins, so that his wrath was fully expended against those sins and satisfied. And then he died. Emmanuel died. Was that the end of God with us? Many people were hoping it would be. Of course, spoiler alert, no, it wasn't the end. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And God's with us again. But only for 40 days. And then he left. And if you missed it, I'm sorry. You missed it, right? No. You didn't. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples the night before he's crucified. This is in John 14. The Lord's just told his disciples, I'm going away. And they freak out. I mean, you could probably have seen it on their faces. Just the, oh no. And the Lord says this to them. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and will be in you. Get ready for this. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I thought he was going to leave 40 days later, after his resurrection. No. Brothers and sisters, this is the miracle of Christmas. Not just God with us for 33 years, but God with us forever. He's not going away permanently. The Lord Jesus puts it this way a couple chapters later in the same talk to his disciples. He says, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. What? It's to our advantage that Emmanuel, God with us, goes away? Yes. Because as he said, I will come to you. I want to encourage you this morning that Emmanuel, the concept of Emmanuel, God with us, is not finished. It did not end 33 years ago. And in fact, it's better than ever. It has an incredible impact in our lives. I want you to think through this. In many different ways. Here's one way. I'll be showing these verses on the screen, or you can turn there if you'd like. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. God with us. Still. Now. Listen to what the Lord has to say here. The Lord Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, and he calls his disciples together, and he says these words to them. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Think about that. Do you believe that? I am with you always? Can you hear the impact of that? He's promising his own presence with us as we go out serving. Even more than it would have been, I mean, think when he sent out the 70. When he sent out the 12. He sent them. He wasn't with them. They went away from him. Yes, they had his power. But now he promises, I am with you. That's better. Imagine just for a minute that the Lord Jesus did not leave after his resurrection. Maybe he set up his headquarters in Chicago. And all of a sudden, you've got to email Chicago for directions. Maybe you've got to put in a quick phone call to Jesus. What do I do now? The missionary organizations, Lord, are you opening up a door here or no? Well, you better email Jesus and ask him. Maybe he's busy. I mean, there are limitations while he's on earth. But now that he's ascended, he's with us. And I, in my back room prepping my sermon yesterday, am with the Lord Jesus. He's there with me, helping me. As you're talking to whoever it is you want to about the Lord Jesus, he's there. He's promised. If you're basing your life on the Bible, you can base your life on the certainty that Jesus himself is with you in your service based upon his own promise. With you. Wow. Guiding you. You can ask him for help. You can look to him. You can trust him for direction. You're not off on your own. Wow. There's some Emmanuel for you. Power for service. I am with you always. How about this? An ability to please God. Did it ever occur to you that you have not the faintest idea what to do to please God? All I know how to do is to sin. I do that really well. I do that naturally. But to please God? Listen to Romans 8:10. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. My body is dead. It's dying. It's going to die one day. But my Spirit, because Christ is in me, the Spirit is alive to God, able to please Him. Through the Lord Jesus living in me, His life is now in me. Paul puts it this way. Here's another verse along similar lines, Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but ready? Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. That doesn't mean like a bacteria that's living inside of me. You know, I've got a little Jesus living in there somewhere if I could find him. No, it's much more. It's dynamic. He's living. What does Paul say? It's no longer I who live. What a life of service for God. What a way to please God. Not trying to figure out what to do on my own. but the Lord Himself living through me as I yield my body, my will, my plans, my desires to Him. As I yield control, I don't all of a sudden become a vegetable. No, He takes over. And He lives through me. And brothers and sisters, to the extent, therefore, that we are yielded to Jesus, others will experience Emmanuel as we are with them. Not through us. But if the Lord Jesus is living through me, I mean, that's what we say. I see Jesus in you. What I'm saying is, I can feel the nearness of Jesus because He Himself is in you, living through you, and you've yielded to Him. That's pretty awesome. I mean, can you feel the room shake under the weight of what we're talking about? God living through me. Wow. That's Emmanuel. That's God with us. How about this? We talked about unity. I've realized something recently. I mean this in all sincerity. If we don't have the Lord Jesus, nothing is going to hold us together. Look at us. Look at our differing political views. Look at our differing opinions on various issues. Look at our various callings. Look at our various personalities that rub each other the wrong way sometimes. Look at how different we are. What reason do we have to stick together? If we don't have Jesus, there's nothing that's going to hold us together. But then listen to what the Lord says in John 17. The Lord Jesus is praying for you and me here. This is right before He's crucified. He says this, I do not pray for these alone, for these disciples that are with Him, He says, but also for Fairhaven Bible Chapel, for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. The Lord Jesus is praying for unity here. He's praying for oneness from His saints. And He doesn't say, let's forget about all those differences. He says something even better. He says, fine, those differences are there. But you know what? They don't matter. Because when I look at you, I can see the Lord Jesus in you. Because you and I are partakers of a greater fellowship. John says it this way in a letter. He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Rather than bring a bunch of disparate people together and try and get them to get along, the Lord Jesus comes into each one. And all of a sudden now, I have a special bond with you. It's called the unity of the Spirit. Because you have the Lord in you and I have the Lord in me. And I look at that brother that I don't get along with, and that sister who thinks differently from me, and I know that the Lord Jesus is living inside of her, inside of him. The Lord Jesus loves him or her that much. And He's in us. And if we have the Lord Jesus in us, there's nothing that can drive us apart. Because nothing more matters if the Lord is in us. Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. We're talking about closeness with the Lord Jesus. We're starting to get there with fellowship here. Closeness that we could have had while He's on earth. The Lord Jesus in John 14 has told His disciples, I'm going to manifest myself to you, but not to the world. And they're not sure what's going on. They're not sure how He's going to do that. And one of His disciples says, okay, Lord, how are you going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Here's what the Lord says. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him.
Wow.
Home? Think about what that would mean. For God to make his home in you. That speaks of something different in terms of a relationship. I interact with people at my school. I'm not home with them. There's always a bit of that guard up. It's just natural when you're away from your home. And we have a good time, and I relax to an extent when I'm with them, you know, different ones, differently. But then I come home, and I'm with Catherine. That's very different. I'm totally different at home than I am anywhere else. And it's not even always conversations. Sometimes it's just being there together. Being at home. That's real intimacy. And the Lord Jesus says, someone who loves me, keeps my word, we will come to him, Father and I, we will make our home with him. Think about the intimacy the Lord Jesus is promising there to you. I want to live in you. And you notice it's not held out for super Christians. Maybe, you know, the top elder of some of the best churches gets to experience the Lord Jesus living in his heart, and that's it. No. If anyone, open to anyone, loves me, keeps my word, we'll make our home with him. This is something I want to experience. This is something I think I know a little sometimes. Think about that. The Lord at home in us. Again, Emmanuel, God with us. I mean, that's, compare that with what it would have been while he's on earth. This is more intimate than that. I like also something special the Lord Jesus says to Mary Magdalene in John 20. Mary, a devoted follower of the Lord Jesus, has lost her Lord. She's seen him die, and she's come to the tomb to weep there, and the body's gone. And she's still weeping because now she doesn't even have a body that she can weep over. And then the Lord appears. And she grabs onto him because she doesn't want to lose him again. And the Lord Jesus says this to her. Because she doesn't want to lose Emmanuel. She doesn't want to lose God with her anymore. And the Lord says to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. I took that for the longest time to mean, I got to go, Mary. I mean, really. Don't hang on to me. I got places to go, people to see. No. Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended. The implication is, you can cling to me then. Don't cling to me yet. I haven't ascended. I have to go. But Mary, I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. You love me this much. I love you this much. I don't want to be separated from you. You can cling to me once I've ascended to my Father. I'll be with you more than you could ever dream right now. You want to know how much the Lord Jesus loves you? That much. Power for service. You have ability to please God. Unity with the saints. Intimacy with God. And then a hope of resurrection. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians. He says, to them, that is, to his saints, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did you realize, by the way, before there were that many verses about the Lord Jesus being in you in the Scriptures? Think about that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We think about relationships, long-distance relationships, sometimes long-distance engagements. Maybe a man gets engaged to a woman before he goes on a trip, and he's gone for years, and he says, I'll marry you when I come back. But there's always that question, because he's gone. Is something going to happen? Is he going to come back? Are things going to change? What's going to happen? And the Lord doesn't want that with us. So even though in a sense it's a long-term relationship, yet he's already here. The relationship that's going to continue in heaven has already begun. Christ is in you right now. Man. So that death isn't going to mean anything except a continuation of what's already here right now. That's my hope of glory. Christ in me. Wow. Oh, man. Christ in you. Hope of glory. Brothers and sisters, when you hear Emmanuel now, think about this. God with us has not ended. God with us is still going on. And in fact, as the Lord Jesus said, it is to our advantage that he went away. But I still want to see him. Part of me says it's not enough. Part of me still wants to look in his eyes. Part of me still wants to have someone to reach out and touch, even if I'm in a crowd of thousands of people, to be able to see him there and actually look at him. I want that. Well, that's promised too. As Paul says, when that Colossians verse is finally brought true, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall ever be with the Lord. So we have Emmanuel right now in an incredible way, in a better way than the disciples had back 2,000 years ago. But we're going to have Emmanuel in an even better way, finally, when we're with him and he's with us forever in eternity. So, no, you didn't miss it. And you don't have, and don't let the world take it away from you and say, oh yes, he's still with us. You know, George Washington is still with us. His legacy is still on. You know, Jesus is still with us. No, Jesus is still with us. He's in you. He's with you. If you know the Lord Jesus, he's with you right now. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful gift you gave to us. Father, to know Emmanuel, God, with us. To know the Lord Jesus in us. Father, I want to pray that you would grant to us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. Father, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge. Lord, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Lord, we want to know you present with us. Thank you that we can grab hold of it by faith. Thank you that it's not, Lord, an experience that we have to strive for, that you might give to us and you might not, and some of us have Jesus and some don't. Thank you that it's a promise, Lord, and that all that's left for us to do is to lay hold of it by faith, to say, yes, the Lord has said, he is with me. The Lord has said, he will come and make his home with me. And Lord, I pray that we would know that in a special way. And Lord, I ask also that as we interact with each other, Lord, that others would know Christ in us. Lord Jesus, that you would touch others through us. Lord Jesus, that you would let us know that joy of your life in us until we're finally new in your presence, Lord. We so look forward to that. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen.